Good morning, everybody, and as always, welcome to our share. This past week, we observed the Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, which obviously brings to light the fact that this is a Hebrew leap year. So I thought that this would be an opportunity to discuss some of the halachos. It's very confusing. People get very confused in this area of the 2 months of Adar and the basic question of which is considered the primary month. Is the first month considered the month of Adar? The main one is the second one. So this is what I would like to discuss today. Now, it happens to be that the leap year this year sort of crept up on us because it was a leap year just 2 years ago. So we know, just as background, that the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, goes by the moon, is lunar, and thus Rosh Chodesh is every 29 and a half days. A lunar month is 29 and a half days approximately. And therefore, we have the issue of Rosh Chodesh and the question of is Rosh Chodesh declared on the 30th day, or is Rosh Chodesh declared on the 29th day? That's a question that existed very much in the times when the Kiddush HaChodesh was done the way the Torah describes, which is that it's supposed to be viewed, the new moon is supposed to be viewed by witnesses who then come and report to the Beis Din. So we know that for the past approximately 1,500 years, the Kiddush HaChodesh system was put away. That no longer are we Mekadosh the Chadoshim the way the Torah says to do them, which is a question in its own right, and maybe one day the topic of a shir in its own right, how can we do that? If the Torah says it's supposed to be done this way, where do we come to do something differently? But nevertheless, a calendar was put into effect approximately 1,500 years ago, and it has held to this day, and it has worked effectively to this day. In order for the calendar to work, so we know that for the reason which we'll see in a moment, there has to be some reconciliation between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. And thus, anyone doing the math would know that if you have the solar year is 365 days, the lunar year is 354 days, so thus there's going to be a discrepancy of 11 days per year. And as such, if we didn't care at all, so then we would just have, okay, you know, our calendar would run randomly, and as such, the Moadim, the Yomim Tovim, would come out at different times of the year, right? So Rosh Hashanah, for example, which always comes out in the fall, wouldn't necessarily be that way. Sometimes it would be in the summer, sometimes it would be in the winter. This is, in fact, the Muslim calendar operates that way. And as such, they have the various observations, the observances at different times of the year. But the Torah tells us otherwise. The Torah tells us there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which says, "Shomar es chodesh ha'aviv asisa pesach la'Hashem Elokecha," that one should observe, should guard chodesh ha'aviv. Now, the word chodesh ha'aviv means the month of the blossoming of the wheat. That's the way the Chazal understood the pasuk. It's loosely translated the spring, but it doesn't really mean that. Chodesh Ha'aviv means the blossoming of the wheat, and as such, we find that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that one of the reasons why we have the concept of the extra month of the leap year is in order to make sure, because the Torah says that Shomer as Chodesh Aviv v'asisa Pesach Hashem Elokecha, that Pesach has to come out in the month in which the wheat is blossoming. Okay, so that has to be in the spring. It must be. That's what the Torah is telling us. As such, so we must reconcile, we have no choice, we must reconcile the lunar calendar that we follow with the solar calendar. And thus, the system came about that a month would be added every so often. Now, how often would that be? So in the times of the Gemara, there was no set calendar, and it was totally random. It was a judgment call that was made by the Chachamim. Every single year, they had to make an assessment of the situation. They had various cheshbonos. and they made the Shnas HaIbur, the leap year, when they saw fit. But once the calendar was put into place, approximately 1,500 years ago, so we went into a cycle of a 19-year cycle that would contain seven leap years every 19 years. Okay, and those 7 years would be, starting from the beginning of the cycle, would be the third year, the sixth year, so that follows, you know, three and three. Then it would be the eighth year, 2 years later. Then it would go back to three again, so it would be the eighth year, the 11th year, the 14th year, the 17th year, and the 19th year. So therefore, in the 19-year cycle that we have, so generally speaking, the leap year would be every 3 years. Five out of the seven leap years would be every third year. Twice it would happen that it was the second year. Okay, so in other words, and that's what we have currently. In other words, in right now, we are in a leap year, and we just had one 2 years ago. Okay, so this is not the typical. Prior to that, we had, in other words, the secular years, 2008 was a Hebrew leap year, 2011 was a Hebrew leap year, 2014 was a Hebrew leap year, and now we are at the end of the 19-year cycle, and therefore this year, 2016, is also a Hebrew leap year. Okay, so the 3rd, the 6th, the 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, 19th. That's the way it works. So, the question comes up. So thus we add a month. Now, if you want to be totally open-minded about this, one could ask that, well, all right, so you have to add a month in order to reconcile. Why must it be the month of Adar? It could be theoretically any month. You could add, you have a lot of choices. You could add, and you could make 2 months of Shvat. You could make, theoretically, you could make any month double. How does it come about that the month of Adar is the one that's double? So here we have the following. So the Rashi tells us, not on the sheet, but Rashi tells us in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amid Aleph in Rosh Hashanah, so Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, it's actually in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that in the times that the Sanhedrin, that the Beis Din would proclaim the leap year, so they would do this. They didn't wait necessarily to the last minute to do it. It would seem to us that they waited to the last minute. You know, like here you have the month of Adar, as if everything was running, and then one day they woke up and said, "Oh my gosh, it's not going to work out. So we have to add the month of Adar." But not necessarily. There were years that they knew well in advance that they were going to have to do this. But nevertheless, it was always the month of Adar. So the Braisa tells us, "Ein ma'abrin hashana lefnei Rosh Hashanah," that in general, when they would make the decision to make a leap year, they would never do it before Rosh Hashanah because they were afraid that the decision would be forgotten and then they would end up not keeping it. So Rashi and the Gemara then proceeds to say, "V'afal pikein ein ma'abrinel adar." So really, theoretically, they could have added any month, but we only add the month of Adar. Why is that? So Rashi tells us that because it says in the pasuk Shomer es Chodesh HaAviv, so because the pasuk on which we base the whole concept of leap years is Shomer es Chodesh HaAviv, that you should safeguard the month of the Aviv, the month of the blossoming. So says Rashi that therefore Chodesh HaSomach HaAviv, that the Chazal interpreted that pasuk to mean that you have to, Shomer es Chodesh HaAviv doesn't just mean that the month of the blossoming should be kept, but it means that the way to keep it is with the month prior. In other words, in the prior month, that's the time to safeguard, to make sure that everything works out the way it's supposed to. So therefore, they always added a month of Adar, even though they knew well in advance. In other words, we certainly know well in advance. We have a set calendar, so we know that we knew a long time ago that this was going to be a leap year. So theoretically, somebody could have said, all right, so let's make 2 months of Kislev, right? Maybe we even have twice Hanukkah, you know, not a bad idea. But nevertheless, you can't do that. You can't do that because the Chachamim derived this from the Pasuk, that Chodesh HaSomach HaAviv, that you have to make sure that the spring, that Pesach comes out in the spring by doing it in the month closest to that. Make sure in the month closest to that that's the way it works out. So therefore, we have this practice that we add the month of Adar in our cycle, and we have 2 months. We have Adar Rishon, Adar Shein. Now, the question that comes up in Halacha, it's relevant in a lot of areas, in a number of areas, but most commonly it comes up in 2 areas which we will discuss. The question comes up, which one of these months is the real month? In other words, are they both Adar? Is one considered the real month of Adar and the other one is sort of like just a throw-in? This would be relevant in the case of, let's say, a person observing a yard site, right? So this is the most common thing where it comes up. A person has a yard site, someone passes away in the month of Adar in a regular year, and now comes the next year is a leap year. So in which month do you observe the yard site? So the question is, do you say that the first month is Adar, and therefore that's the month, and the second one is just the throw-in? The second one was just added to make sure that everything works out. Or do we say the opposite? Okay, another question where this would come up would be also very common, would be with a boy becoming bar mitzvah, where he was born in the month of Adar. Now the question is, which he was born in a regular year, and now the 13th year is a leap year, so in which month do we observe the bar mitzvah? So these are the 2 most basic questions, but it's also, in fact, relevant to other things. For example, if a person goes to a wedding, and they read the ksuba, so when anyone who pays attention knows that at the beginning of the ksuba, the first line contains the date. So you'll say, b'chamishi, l'shnas, b'chodesh, so-and-so, right? That this is the 5th day of the month of, so how do you write it? Do you write, let's say there's a wedding tonight, okay? So would you say that, let's say today is what? Rosh Chodesh was, Wednesday was the 2nd day of Rosh Chodesh, so that would mean that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, today is the 5th, I got it right. The 5th day, so if there was a wedding, so this evening already would be the 6th. Okay, so if there was a wedding tonight, what would they write in the ksuba? Would they write the 6th day of the month of Adar Rishon? Or would you write the 6th day of the month of Adar, period? How do you do that? And so too, you would have the question the next month as well. In other words, in Adar Sheni, do we call it Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni? You know, I think when a week ago when we said the Mevarchim HaChodesh, so the Chazanim in the shuls who daven Musaf, so and they announced Rosh Chodesh, Adar Rishon, but the question is that really what you're supposed to do? Or are you supposed to just say Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the next one you'll say Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni? Now, it may say, now when you say the Mevarchim HaChodesh, it doesn't really make much of a difference, but in Shtaros it makes a difference. In a get, if a get was given, so you would have to have it the right way. You have to have the date. It must be written correctly. So the question is, which one is considered the primary month? So we have, now one might say, furthermore, another area which, we have to consider is the observance of Purim, right? We have a Yontif in the month of Adar, and everybody knows that Purim is observed only in the 2nd month of Adar, which might right there lead a person to conclude that, well, there you have it. If Purim is in the 2nd month of Adar, so that means that the 2nd month of Adar is the real month, and the first one is just the throw-in. So we call it Adar, but it's just that's just to pad the calendar, but in reality, the 2nd month. But we'll see in a moment that's not so. Okay, so we have here, if you look at the sheet, okay, on page 1, so the Gemara in Megillah tells us as follows. Okay, on the top of the page. So bear with me for a moment. So it says, the Mishnah here on the 2nd line says very interestingly, Karu es haMegillah ba'Adar HaRishon v'nisabra hashana. Okay, now this could not happen in our world. This could only happen in the world where the Kiddush HaChodesh was still being done on the Torah system. So what would happen if they had the month of Adar and nobody had declared any leap year? Okay, and now they came the 14th of Adar and it was Purim. So they went ahead and they observed Purim and they read the Megillah. And then towards the end of the month, the Chachamim decided that for certain reasons it's not working out. The wheat, the crop, the new crop of wheat is not where it should be. It's not conforming to the Torah, the Torah's demand of Shomer is Chodesh Aviv, and therefore we have to make it a leap year. In other words, in the olden times, a leap year could be declared even at the end of the year. By us, it is unthinkable, because we knew this was a leap year. I mean, you look in a calendar, you knew 20 years ago it was going to be a leap year. But we knew already, you know, when we went into the year at the very outset from Rosh Hashanah, we knew this is a leap year. Okay, but that's only because we have a set calendar. But in the times that they didn't have a set calendar, so they could proclaim the new month anytime they wanted. So what happens if you had Purim, and now they decided that you have to go ahead and add a month? Do you have to do it again? Yes, go ahead. They had to do what?
They had to do this even way before Purim existed. I mean, from Moshe Rabbeinu up to Purim.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Right, right. But that's a good point. But now the question came up, now that you had Purim, so now what do you do? So now what are you going to do in such a situation? So the Mishnah here in Megillah tells us, Koros and Megillah Ba'adah Rishon in this Abra Hashanah, and then they added a month. Korinosa Ba'adah Sheni, you have to read it again. You have to have Purim again. It's not good enough. The fact that you read the Megillah in the first month of Adar is not sufficient. Now, why not? So the Gemara goes into this. The Gemara asks that this doesn't seem to fit with any of the opinions of Tanoim. So to make a long story short, the Gemara says that in reality, this is for a totally different reason. The Gemara says that this is not because it's a question of which is the primary month and which is the secondary month. Says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom, says the Gemara, the end of the three lines from the El Reb Shimon Gamliel, my taima, Amar Reb Tavi, taima Reb Shimon Gamliel, Masmach Geula LeGeula Adiv. The Gemara says, and this is without going through the whole complication of the Gemara prior to that, the whole discussion, but just to make life simple, this is the accepted opinion, that the Gemara says the reason why we make Purim in the second month is because we try to juxtapose Geula LeGeula, that you should have the Geula of Purim close to the Geula of Pesach. So therefore, it really does not shed any light on the question of which is the Iker month, which is the Iker month of Adar, because it could be that the Iker month of Adar is the first month. But it happens to be that when it comes to this Yontif of Purim, so there's a separate consideration. And therefore, Mismach Geula Geula, and thus we have the Purim always in the second month of Adar, but that in itself has no bearing on anything else. And thus, the halacha would be that if the Megillah, again, this would not happen by us, but let's say theoretically you had people somewhere in Klal Yisrael that didn't have a calendar, and they didn't have the current calendar, and they just made a mistake, and then, you know, another week from now, middle of next week, they decided it was Purim, okay, and they read the Megillah. So if that would happen, it would have to be read again on the real Purim. And it's not good enough. Not good enough. Okay. Now, but we come back to the question of what is considered the primary month of Adar. So we find on the bottom of this page, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim, very interesting, that says as follows. The Mishnah says, Konim Yayin She'eni Toeim L'shana. The Mishnah Nedarim speaks about a person, a man made a neder, and he said the word konam in the Mishnah is a reference to a neder. It's a catchphrase for a neder. A man makes a neder that he's not going to drink wine for whatever reason. He wants to do tshuva for something or whatever it is. He decides that I'm not going to drink wine for a year. Right, he feels that drinking wine is leading him in bad direction. So therefore, he decides to make it. He's going to strengthen his resolve by making a neder. See, he makes a neder. He's not going to drink wine l'shana for a year, and then nisabra hashana, and then the rabbis proclaimed it a leap year. So now the question is: he said he's not going to drink wine for a year. A regular year is 12 months, but now they just added a month. So in order to fulfill this vow, does he have to refrain from drinking wine for the 13th month as well? Or can he just say, well, a year is a year. They added a month, but it's nothing to do with me. So the Mishnah tells us, Osir ba ubi ibura, that if they added a month, that he's stuck with it. They have, he can't drink wine in that month, the additional month either, because he said a year. So a year is whatever is determined to be a year. When they add a month, it doesn't matter which month of Adar is the main month. It doesn't make a difference. He said he's not going to drink wine for a year. This year, this particular year, has 13 months. Fine. Then the Mishnah continues and says, what if he made a vow that he's not going to drink wine Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar? Okay, he says, I'm not going to drink wine until Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, so what do you do in a case like that? So the Mishnah says, he said Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, or he said Ad Rosh Adar Harishon, Ad Sof Adar, Ad Sof Adar Harishon. If he said until the beginning of Adar, okay, he says that I'm going to do it until Adar, it means till the beginning of the first Adar. So says the Mishnah, but if he said Sof Adar, and if he said the end of Adar, the month of Adar, it means the end of the first month of Adar. In other words, it sounds from the Mishnah that the primary month of Adar is the first one, not the second one. In other words, if he made a vow, he's not going to drink wine till Adar, so the first month of Adar is the one that we consider. Okay, now, the Gemara, however, says that this is not so simple. The Gemara says on the second line, Lema Masnis and Reb Yehudi, that this really reflects one opinion in an existing machlokas. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, that the Braisa here discusses how do you write in shtaros, like we said before, when a person is writing a ksuba, or a person is writing a get, or a person is writing any shtar, any document, and it comes now, the month of Adar, so how do you write it? So the Mishnah says as follows. So the Mishnah says that Adar Harishon Kosev Adar Harishon, that Adar Sheni Kosev Adar Stam Divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir's opinion is that the first month of Adar you write Adar Harishon, and the second month of Adar you just write Adar. Which means that in Rav Meir's opinion, the second month is the month. The first one is the add-in, but the second one is primary. And therefore, if a person was writing a ksuba, let's say, so you would write, if the wedding is now, today, or tonight, you would write Adar Harishon, and if it was a month from now, you would just write Adar. So says Reb Meir. However, Reb Yehuda Omer, just the opposite. Reb Yehuda says, Adar Harishon Kosef Stam Adar. Sheni, Adar Harishon Kosef Stam. Adar Sheni Kosev Tanayon, that if it's the first month of Adar, he just writes Adar, but if it's the second month, then he writes Adar Sheni. So there we have a Machlokas Tanoim, okay, you have a Machlokas here between Reb Meir and Yehuda, which month is considered the primary month. Now it happens to be, so what do we do in such a case? What do we say? So in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Halachas, in both the Halachas of Ksuba, and in the halachas of shtaros, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins, in fact, that the halacha is that you write Adar, that the first month of Adar is the Shulchan Aruch says that it says that both in shtaros and in gittin, the first month is called Adar and the second month is called Adar Sheni. Okay, which is what we do. Right, that's you write Adar, it doesn't have to be Adar or Rishon. This is the month of Adar, and the second month is considered the secondary. Yes.
But Meir's opinion seems very hard to follow.
Yeah, go ahead.
The time before we have the standard calendar, because it could be the first week of Adar you have a wedding.
Right.
And the second week of Adar they decided to make it a nubar.
Right, right.
So how do you go back? Like, how do you reconcile?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. What would they do according to a Meir if it was Nisabra after that? Okay, I don't know. I don't know what they would do. That's a good question. But Lamaisa, all right, fine. So that's a good question. But we don't have to deal with that because we know it, right? So therefore, it would come out. Shulchan Aruch says that the first month you call Adar, the second month you call Adar Hashem. Now, that being the case, so it would lead us to believe that the halacha should therefore be that when you have a yard site, so the yard site should be kept in the first month of Adar, because that's what we're saying. In other words, if you date the shtar as Adar today and next month Adar Sheni, that means that this is the month. This is the month of Adar. The next month is an additional month that we had to put in, so we called it Adar Sheni because we had nothing else to call it, so we called it Adar Sheni, but basically this is the month. But the reality is that if you look, if you turn over the page here to the Shulchan Aruch, we have to go here to page 3, Okay, so in the laws of Yahrzeit, when it's the Shulchan Aruch, and the laws of fasting, so we know that there's a time-honored custom to fast on a Yahrzeit. Okay, this is based on a statement that's found in the Gemara and the Dharm in several places, that there's a minhag, it's not a chiyuv, but there's a minhag widely accepted that people fast on the Yahrzeit of a parent. And the question, this is not a real chiyuv, many people don't do it. In fact, I believe that the practice of making a siyum on a Yahrzeit has to do with this point, that people who didn't want to fast would make a siyum, and therefore a siyum calls for a sudas mitzvah. Right? We know any time you make a siyum, so you have a party that goes with it. So that party already is an inyan that the person should participate in the party, so they would make a siyum in order to not have to fast. That was, I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that that's the origin of the custom. There are different opinions today whether a person should do this. I mean, a lot of people do it. If a person doesn't do it, that's okay. Also, there are a lot of opinions about this. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about it as it was a commonplace minhag that people fasted. So now the question comes up, so what day should the person fast? So if you look here, on the fourth line from the top, in Siv Zion. So it says, Kishira Yom Shemes Ovivo Imo Ba'adar, that if the day of the Yahrzeit falls out in Adar, Vahashonamu Beres, and the year is a leap year, so when should you fast? So without looking further, if we cover it over, and let's take a guess, what's he about to say? So we know that he already is on record, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, is already on record as saying that when you write a Ksuba, so you write in the month of the first Adar, you write Adar plain. And it's only in the second month that you write Adar Sheni. So you would expect that, so then when should you fast the fast of the Yahrzeit? When should that be? So we're expecting him to say in the first month of Adar, because that's the main month. So here we have, surprise, surprise, he says, Yisana ba'adar sheni, that you should fast in the second month. So this is very strange. Make up your mind. Is it, which one is the primary month? In other words, he's telling us over here that for a Yahrzeit, you observe the Yahrzeit in the second month of Adar. But when you write a shtar, you write a shtar in the first month. So you the first month is called Adar. The second month is called Adar sheni. Whereas here we're saying that when it comes to the Yahrzeit, you fast in the second month of Adar. So which one is the primary month? So this question is asked by the Mefarshim. And basically the conclusion that people draw from this is that when he said about shtaros, that you date the shtar, the Chodesh Adar, in the first month, he didn't mean to say that that's because the first month is the primary month. But rather, it's just a question of what are you going to call it? What are you going to call it? In other words, you have to come up with some distinction. You can't have 60 days in a row going by the month of Adar. You can't have that on a document. So there has to be, because shtaros are all, the date on a shtar, or the date on any document is relevant. In a monetary shtar, it's relevant to know when the transaction was completed. Right? On a get, it's important to know what the exact date the woman was divorced, and so forth. So you have to come up with some naming system. So to come up with a naming system, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that we'll call the first month Adar, because we called all the other months, right? You had the Teves, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, so we'll call it Adar. The second month, we'll call Adar Sheni, but that's just because it's the second month of Adar, so there's no need to add any suffix to the title until you get to it. In other words, when you have the first month, there's no, okay, you can call it Adar the same way you called all the other months by one name. It's only when you get to the second month that to make a distinction, you'll call it Adar Sheni. But in reality, the primary month is the second month. The primary month is the second month, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch says, that a person observing a Yahrzeit, a person in particular, the person is fasting, so he really needs to make sure he gets it right, so the halacha is that he would fast on the second.
Oh my gosh, Rabbi, did you just tell us 10 minutes ago the primary was the first month?
Yeah, I'm saying so, that's what I just said now, we just changed it. We did, no. Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Don't take a nap.
That's right. Okay. So the Ramah, however, right, this point is hotly debated. So the Ramah right away comes and says, V'yesh omrim, di'isana barishon. So the Ramah, however, says that no, that you should fast in the first month. Because in his opinion, the first month is the primary month. Okay? Im lo shemes b'shnas ha'ibur v'adar sheni, unless, says the Ramah, unless the person who passed away in a leap year. If the person passed away in this adar sheni of a leap year, so then we would say, da'oz no'agin l'sanos b'sheni. Then we would say that the correct thing is to fast in the second month. In other words, according to the Ramah, the primary month of Adar is the first month, and therefore a person observing a tainus for a yahrzeit should fast on the Adar, the first month of Adar. The only exception to that would be if the person who passed away in a leap year. Now the truth of the matter is that even if that happened, you'll say, so what? But if the first month is really the month of Adar, and you're observing a date in Adar, so it should be you could make the argument that even in a leap year should be the first month of Adar, but now, because that's the primary month. But here, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that the minig is that we do it, that we observe it in the second month. And then he says, V'chein ha-minig l'zanos b'rishon, and he says, that is the minig, that is the correct minig. Mi'u yesh machmir l'zanos b'shneim. He says that some people are machmir, that they fast in both months. This already is a big question whether you have to do that. People have a hard time understanding why this should be, why you have to be machmir in such a case. It's only a minig, there's no reason to be minig on a machmir on a minig. But anyway, the fact of the matter remains that this is, so as far as the bottom line, a person observing a yahrzeit, so we would say that there would be a distinction between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. In other words, according to Sfardim would follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch's psak is that the second month of Adar is the primary month, and therefore a person who passed away in the month of Adar in a regular year, and now comes a leap year, should keep the yahrzeit should be kept in the second month of Adar. Okay, whereas the Ramah says that it should be in the first month. Okay, now if you look in the Mishnah Brura here on the bottom of the page, on Mem Beis, so he says, he brings from the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham wanted to say a distinction whether the person who fasts for a yahrzeit, whether he made an actual Kabbalist tainus. In other words, we know that there is a halacha that a person who's going to fast for a personal reason, so really the right thing to do is the day before the fast, when he davens mincha, he should say, there's a paragraph, it's printed in some of the Siddurim, that's called Kabbalas Tainus. Kabbalas Tainus means I accept upon myself that I'm going to fast tomorrow. Okay, that's what's done. Now, it's not always, the truth is we don't have self-imposed tanesim, generally speaking. You know, in the olden times, we have a whole mesecta in the Shas called Tainus, which dealt with fast days that were imposed every so often when they were praying for rain and so forth. But by us today, generally, we only fast the fast days that are in the calendar. Those fast days do not require a Kabbalas Tainus. The day before Tainus Esti, you don't have to say it, nor do you have to say it the day before Tisha B'Av, etc., etc., right? However, for a personal fast, so then a person really should say it. So says the Magen Avraham that if a person made a Kabbalas Tainus, that he actually uttered the words, that he made a vow that he's going to fast on yahrzeit. In other words, let's say he, in general, he spoke out when, not in the davening the day before, but he spoke out when his parent passed away. He said, that's it, I'm going to fast on the day of the yahrzeit. Okay, so if he said that and he made, that's a neder, because he said it that way, he didn't say bli neder, so that becomes a legally binding vow. So then he says, mechuyev l'sanos b'shneim, because then he would really have to fast in both of them. However, if he's just doing it as a minig, so then he only has to do, says the Magen Avraham, he only has to do whatever he did. In other words, the Magen Avraham wants to say that when it comes to fasting, if you have not accepted with a neder that you're going to fast, and it's just a minig, so a minig, a person can do whatever his minig is. So whatever, he decided that he likes the first month of Adar better. He decided he likes the second month of Adar better. That's what he wants to say. Okay, so however, he concludes and says that this is a technical thing if a person fasts on those days. But what about saying Kaddish? So if you go down to the bottom of this first column, two lines, the end of the second line from the bottom, he says, Ochen ha'aveilim e'tzrichim litin lo kaddish el apam achas. Okay, so he says that really the people saying kaddish, so based on what the Ramah said, that the main month of Adar is the first month when it comes to a yard site. So what happens if you have a question? They want it, so now they want to say Kaddish in the second month also. Now by us, it's not an issue because by us in the shuls, the way we have it today structured, all the Avelim say Kaddish all the time. So therefore, you have very often a chorus in a shul. You go into a large shul, and it comes time after Aleinu, and 30 people start saying Kaddish. Okay, but it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that one person said Kaddish on behalf of everybody. And there are still shuls that do that, but Mipnei HaMachlokas, it's not done in most shuls because it would create all kinds of issues. So therefore, to just make life simple, it's a high emotionally charged issue, and especially then you have to start checking out. Some people observe yard sites, even not halachically binding yard sites. They did sentimental yard sites, the anniversary of the death of his Rebbe or the death of his uncle or whatever it may be, a grandparent, you know, where there's no real chiv. So for a lot of reasons, it became that just everybody says Kaddish. Really, the right thing to do is that everybody should say Kaddish together. In other words, what is not correct, according to all opinions, is to have a shul where everybody just does what they want. Everybody's saying this one goes faster, this one goes slower, and they're saying Geish Merabba five times in the same Kaddish, right? That's not correct. Really, there should be, and if you want everyone to say Kaddish, you want to give everyone the chance to say Kaddish, that's fine, but there should be one leader who sets the pace, and someone obviously would have to be with a loud voice, who'll set the pace for the Kaddish, and everybody will say it together with him, right? If you do that, so then already you could do it that way. But it used to be that they would make a special thing, that a person had they would only have one person say Kaddish, and then even in more recent times, I remember growing up in shul, that a person had yard site, they would give him one time to say Kaddish by himself. They would even make an extra Kaddish, which is also highly questionable if you're supposed to do that. At the end of the davening, they would say a perek of Tehillim, and then they would say an additional Kaddish, and only the yardside man would say that Kaddish. Okay, you know, the first halacha in the laws of Kaddish in the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein laharbos b'kaddeshim, that you're not supposed to say Kaddish more than necessary, because Kaddish is a davar shebikdusha, it's considered a sacred thing. So like all sacred things, the more times you say it, the more callous you become to it. Right, like we find, unfortunately, that when it comes to Kaddish, you know, people take it, you know, people are saying Kaddish in all different positions, reading his the smartphone, saying Kaddish, you know, all kinds of things. That comes from the fact that we become callous to it. Right, so really, the aim lahibus for kadeshim. You're not supposed to say too many kadeshim. But nevertheless, the question is: this was the practice. It could be it's still done in shuls that they would, again, because they didn't want to insult anybody. So the fellow who had yard site, they would give one special kaddish. The regular ones in the davening, they allowed everyone to say. But then at the end of the davening, they would say a special kapitel tehillim, and this fellow would be the only one to say the kaddish there. So he says. So the Mishnah Berurah says already that when it comes to that, the first month is really the main month. That's the main thing. Okay. So when it comes to yard site, that's the way we have it. Okay. So therefore, it would be a distinction between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. It could very well be that even Ashkenazim are machmir to say the Kaddish the second month also, but the real observance of a yard site, there are halachas of a yard site more than just saying Kaddish, right? And for example, a person, the day of the yard site is not so well known, a person should not go to a party on the day that they have yard site. A person invited to a wedding on the day of a yard site is a question if they could go. So the halacha is that the primary yard site would be, by Ashkenazim, would be in the first month of Adar, and in the Sfaradim would be in the second month. Okay, now, the question now goes to what about a boy becoming bar mitzvah? So here, it also could potentially become very interesting. So if you turn over the page, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that you could have the following, I don't know what you want to call it, the following interesting situation. It says, Im nar echad noad b'chof tes la'ad rishon mishanim uberes. He said, let's say this year, Okay, so we're in a leap year, okay? So we're in the first month of Adar. So let's say that there is a child born at the end of this month. Let's say on the 29th day, the last day of the month of Adar Rishon, is born. And then, sometime later, in the second month, in Adar Echad, Nolad Ba'Adar Sheni Be'Echad Bo. And then you have, let's say, we'll take the most extreme case. You have one child, one boy, is born on the 29th day of Adar Rishon. And the second boy is born on the first day of Adar Sheni. Okay? So who's older? The guy that was born on the 29th. Now, 13 years later, comes the Bar Mitzvah, and it's not a leap year. And it's not a leap year. Okay? So you're going to have the following bizarre situation. So you're going to have, says the Shulchan Aruch, right? So, Shnas Yud Gimel Eina Muberes, the 13th year is not a leap year. So he says, also Shenoad b'chav tes la'adar rishon sarach la'amten ad chav tes la'adar b'shnas yud gimel. So it's going to come out that the older boy is going to have to wait until the 29th day of Adar to have his bar mitzvah. And the younger boy, v'also Shenoad achrav b'echad ba'adar ha'sheni, yiyeh ben yud gimel, kim shegiyeh echad ba'adar shel shnas yud gimel. In other words, the second boy who's younger is going to have his bar mitzvah a month before the older boy. That's what's going to come out, right? That's going to happen. You're going to have cases like that this year, right? You'll have boys that are born at the end of the month, and the what's that?
13 years ago is an over year.
13 years from now?
It won't happen this year.
No, I'm saying kids who are going to be born this year, going 13 years, going 13 years forward. Going 13 years forward. I don't think 13 years from now. I didn't check it, but I don't think so. But okay. This is a man whose son is being bar mitzvah in a few weeks, right? So he knows. Okay, so, you know, you have to know who to argue with in this world. So the fact of the matter is that if you have such a situation, so you're going to have this halachic oddity that you're going to have a younger boy is going to be bar mitzvah a month before an older boy because of the fact that he was born, they were both born in a leap year, but in a regular year, you go by the day of the month. There's only one Adar, so what are you going to do? So this kid was born 29th day of Adar Rishon, but 13 years from now, there's only one Adar, so he has to wait till the 29th of that Adar. Right? So in other words, comes out that the calculation of 13 years for a bar mitzvah is not precise. Because it's not really 13 years to the day, because there are leap years that come up in those 13 years, right? So therefore, if you really went 13 years by the day, it would be a totally different calculation. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, now what happens? So that's where the kids were born in a leap year and had the bar mitzvah in a non-leap year. Now what happens the other way? What happens if they're born in a non-leap year and the bar mitzvah comes up in a leap year? So says the Ramah, Umi shenolad ba'adar, v'nasa bar mitzvah b'shnasa ibur, says the Ramah, that if a kid is born in a regular month in Adar, and now he becomes bar mitzvah in a leap year, which we just heard is not the case this year, eino nasa bar mitzvah ad Adar sheni. So he only becomes bar mitzvah in the second month. Okay, now, this is a little strange, because you'll say, now, 1 minute, right? The Ramah just told us that when it comes to the Yahrzeit, right, when it comes to the Yahrzeit, so you keep the first month as the prime month of Adar, and yet he's saying here, when it comes to bar mitzvah, you go by the second month, right? So this question is not an easy question to resolve. But nevertheless, it seems that there's a different calculation. There's a different calculation that's made for the 2 months depending on the occasion. In other words, when it comes to, and this is, I think, we all get confused because it's very hard to know. In other words, when it comes to a bar mitzvah, so a kid who is bar mitzvah in a regular year, the Ramah says the halacha is he's not bar mitzvah in a leap year until the second month. He's not bar mitzvah, I guess, because it has to be 13 full years. I assume that's the explanation. In other words, to resolve the contradiction, here he's telling us the second month is the primary, and by Yahrzeit he told us the first month is the primary. So the answer is, it's governed by two different things, because this is the bar mitzvah calculation is that it has to be 13 years. So it's not 13 full years till you run the course, till you go through both others, Whereas when it comes to the Yahrzeit, there's no rule like that. It doesn't have to be a full year. A Yahrzeit just has to be the anniversary of the date. So which is considered the anniversary of the date? So then we say that that is determined by the first month, according to the minhag of Ashkenazim. So there you have it. So thus it comes out as follows. When, if this should happen in real life, a person definitely, one thing is clear is that you should definitely go speak to a Rav to find out, make sure you get it right, because it's confusing. It's very confusing. So when it comes to, so just to summarize, when it comes to Purim, there is no question that Purim always goes by the second month. Always. And even if erroneously the Megillah was read in the first month, so you'd have to read it again, there's no way you could say that that's good enough. Okay. However, when it comes to the two major, actually three major considerations, shtaros, and then when it comes to the Yahrzeit and Bar Mitzvah, so when it comes to shtaros, so the accepted opinion is that when it comes to a shtar, the first month is called Chodesh Adar, and the second month is called Adar Sheni. Okay, and you could check that out. Anybody going to a simcha, your son's wedding was before this, so you're spared from the shaila. Okay, but anyone going to a simcha, pay attention when they read the ksuba and just listen to what they say. If they say whatever X amount of yomim l'chodesh adar, do they say adar arishon? Do they just say adar? Okay, according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, really you only need to say Adar by the first month, but you need to say Adar Sheni in the second month. When it comes to a Yahrzeit, so there you have a difference of opinion between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, where the Sfardim go with the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, which is that the second month is primary. The Ashkenazim go by the Pesach of the Ramah, that the first month is primary. When it comes to Bar Mitzvah, so there, that's governed by a different thing altogether. That's governed by the concept of 13 years. So a year, it has to be a full year. So therefore, the Bar Mitzvah would be observed really in the second month of Adar. Now, what would be, however, if the Bachar Bar Mitzvah was born in a leap year and had his Bar Mitzvah in a leap year? So then we would say that, you help me out, Rabbi, what would be the din? Then you go by the first month. Okay, that's that. So therefore the Bar Mitzvahs of this month would be, you know, obviously 13 years ago was a Bar Mitzvah, so it was a Shnasa Ibor, so therefore a child born in a Shnasa Ibor would go the 13 years to the next Shnasa. If they were both leap years, then he would observe it in the first month of Adar. But if he was born in a regular month, in a regular year, that is, and then the Bar Mitzvah fell out in the leap year, it would be observed in the Adar Sheni. That is the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch. Yes?
So it comes out of point for a moth. The svar for Purim is again an exception, only because you want to be so mech.
Go. Right.
But that's a technicality. Otherwise, the ikker
right. Otherwise, the ikker would be
so
the first.
So the only nafmin of the ikker, according to Ramah, would only apply legabe yortzeit, because any other, because in theory,
everything else
holds, even though he holds at the first ikker.
And shtaros. Right.
Everything else. Right.
Yes. Go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank you for the timeliness of the share. My father's yortzeit is tonight.
How do you like that? Okay.
He
passed out of shame. Okay.
So I've always said Kaddish.
Right.
And on both.
Right. Right. So so the truth is, in a case like that, where it's Adar Sheni to Adar Sheni, so I think also, in other words, if it's leap year to leap year, I think you always go by the month of the leap year. But people have the minhag that they say the Kaddish both times. In other words, the I should clarify this, because the truth is, let's just look back for a minute. In the Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about Yahrzeit, so it says, just a moment, just bear with me for a second. I believe he says here, Yisan L'shana B'lshana, just a minute. I believe, I'll check if you, I don't want to hold everyone hostage here. I believe that if it's Adar Sheni to Adar Sheni, then you keep it primarily in the second month. But people, I think, have the custom that they would say Kaddish the first month also. But that, in that case, it would be primarily the second month. But if it would be a regular year to a leap year, then it would go by the first month. Okay, Yeshakayach.